All right, let's get her going. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. 4 to 6, as always. First full hour. All Leaf edition. So don't be texting my buddy JB and saying, can you guys talk about something else besides the Leafs in the first hour?
All the Leafs all the time. Leaf show.
He's Justin Bourne. I'm Nick Kiprios. He's Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you throughout the Leaf Edition Hour and then the National Hour as well, where we'll welcome in Hockey Hall of Famer, Class of 2024. Jeremy Roenick's going to join us. That's pretty cool.
That's kind of a big deal.
Really big deal.
He's done some talking in his life.
Yes.
Man has chatted.
Yes. With and without teeth.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine he's said some things on the ice that he won't be saying to us today.
We are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Off day for the Toronto Maple Leafs as they get ready for Hall of Fame weekend. Sammy, why are you looking at me like you swallowed a canary?
Because you went to a concert last night.
I did, yes.
You went to see The Boss, Bruce Springsteen.
Saw The Boss.
Yeah, I'm surprised you've heard of him.
I do. I like Bruce Springsteen.
He's still doing it, too. Like, you sent a clip. But he's still grooving around up there.
3 hours.
3 hours. 3 hours, and it's like clockwork with him, right? They no warm-up band, no nothing. He comes on at 7:30.
Early for 7:30,
no Bruce.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, no Bruce. 8:30, no Bruce. Delayed in New Jersey. Lands in Hamilton.
Oh.
And gets the police escort.
Yes.
No
right
way.
Down the QEW.
So what time do you come on?
I want to say just before 9.
Oh, man.
And he went to close to midnight.
Yeah. That's too long. Didn't miss
a beat.
Oh, we saw someone else's video, yeah. And you're like 6 rows from the front.
Wow.
Did you see this video?
Which one?
Lindsay Dunn, who does some Raptors coverage.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And she's on some stuff at the station or whatever. I saw it, our friend J.R. Manitad sent me, and it was like your boy Kipper having a great time. And it was just like a behind-the-stage video of Bruce Springsteen singing. And then you're just sitting there with just the biggest smile on your face. You look like you're having the best time ever.
I'll show it to you.
You look like you didn't even have a beer or anything in your hand. You're just like...
just freewheeling. Got a program.
I was thinking a little bit of you working with the Oiler Vegas game last night. I think it popped into my mind. Hope you're enjoying work.
You know, this year at the Clark Gillies Foundation event, so every year they have Billy Joel's band, the rest of the band. Well, some guys who had played for him, they have a Billy Joel cover band, they call it, called Big Shot.
Mm.
And so they're really good. The guy is like, the rest of the band's legit. So this year at the Gillies event, Billy shows up.
Wow.
So it's a small event. It's like, I don't know, a few hundred people are there, and Billy Joel goes up to play a couple songs. And I just got to say, it was amazing that he did it. It meant a lot. Billy's old.
Yes, I know.
Like watching Bruce in that video.
But
Bruce,
he moves.
Bruce is doing it.
Up
still,
and
you know?
Down and around.
Billy won't play his own songs.
What?
He sung a couple of karaoke tunes and incredibly grateful that he did it.
Yeah. I've met Bruce on a couple occasions.
Really?
With the Rangers.
Got some New York ties, the two of you.
He's very good friends with Susan Sarandon, who's an actress who's
mutual
very
friend
good friends.
Oh.
Yeah, well,
Kipper, would you like me to pick up those names you've dropped?
No,
I can pick those up for you.
No. I had a Bruce connection.
Okay, I had a bit of a Bruce connection.
Okay. And so I met him in the green room, and he tried on my Stanley Cup ring.
Cool.
And he's like, "Oh, that's really cool," you know. And I'm like, "I can't." Like, I tell people to this day, like, Bruce Springsteen wore that ring.
Yeah, can I have your socks?
We're in that general front row kind of thing where everybody's kind of freewheeling right in front of the stage. And like he kind of pointed at me.
Last night. No way.
And I'm like, there's just no way in the world. But then somebody's beside me says, "Boss just looked at you and pointed." He says, "You got to talk about that on the show tomorrow." I'm like, buddy, take a chill pill.
Yeah.
He's seen 10 million
faces.
Bruce's
Rolodex of people. He was like, I know that one.
I mean, he's
the highlight of my life.
You look the same as you did 20 years ago, though. You really do. Like, you don't look any different.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This show was born to run, boys.
There you go. All right. So, Where are we in terms of an off day topic that starts off our Leaf edition here? Is it Austin Matthews? Will we see him tomorrow night against Detroit? Does he take another night off?
If we were like a breaking news TV show, it'd be Austin in crisis.
Are we concerned? Are there other people starting to get a little concerned here? Let's start with you, JB.
There it is. Breaking: Austin Matthews uncertain to return on the weekend. Could this be the end?
That's really good. you got me intrigued.
No, there's,
don't touch the channel.
There are, it's conversations right now. Obviously, they've had some success when he hasn't played. I guess the most important question is, how much do you think this injury has affected him? And if you think it's affected him some, how long should he sit out? When should they welcome him back or ask him to come back? Because he obviously can play. It's just a matter of how much rest should you allow him to get.
I've not heard the clips yet, so why don't we go to Craig Berube on a Matthews update, and we'll come back and answer those questions, JB.
Yeah, he's doing okay. I mean, it's still a day-to-day thing right now, and, just that's really the update I have for you,
It's a day-to-day thing.
That's it?
Day-to-day.
The second one, will Matthews play this weekend? Berube, clip two.
Well, that's to be determined still. It's hard for me to answer that question, knowing what I know right now with him today and stuff. So, I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. I wish I could, but I can't.
Okay, for those of you that weren't sure whether it was going to be determined or not, at least we got clarification that it will be determined.
At some point, conclusion.
Did anybody get anything else out of that?
No.
Listen, it means not playing this weekend. That's what I got out of it.
I think you're probably right.
If he was saying, first of all, he wasn't on the ice today. So
yeah,
if he's not on the ice,
he's not coming to warm up, morning skate warm up and then jumping in.
And if they thought he was even 50-50, they might say he's feeling better. Yeah, he's looking good.
Like, I would imagine that he would say he's feeling better today. Game time decision tomorrow. He's feeling better. We'll see how he feels tomorrow. I can't even make a determination about how he's feeling right now. I don't know anything right now. I don't know anything.
I'm going to throw my two cents in.
Let me have it.
And I'm not questioning at all if he's hurt or not. So let's not even begin to go there.
Okay.
Okay.
It's an interesting way to start this.
Something's bothering him.
Mm-hmm.
If it was game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs or game six or seven, I think he's playing with whatever is bothering him. But I do believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs are a little overcompensating on him not playing. So if, in fact, he goes on some heater again and starts pushing towards 50 goals or 60 goals, that will never happen again. That whole chase, that ridiculous end of last season when the push was to keep driving these guys right to the end and the distraction of getting to 70 goals or 60 this year or maybe even 50 won't come into play.
What they're saying is,
Austin, we don't care about the number of goals you score anymore. What we care about is that you are at the height of your game, the team's feeling good, and it's all about the playoffs. It ain't about the number that you need to hit.
If you want to do conspiracy theories, if you want to put on tinfoil hats
that
today,
is. Kiffy,
if you
that's
want to put
pretty
one
good.
On.
I'm here for it.
But if you want to put one on, I'll say it could be protecting him a little bit from a PR standpoint, from new captain, struggles out of the gate, offensively, whatever. There could be a little bit we'll help him out and just say, it's been an injury. Let's have a fresh start here, whatever. Here's what I think is probably happening. He's probably got a nagging injury and they're waiting for it to get better. It's probably happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's probably not as complicated as
and it's not
it
the wrist.
Not the wrist.
For sure.
So we think shoulder, because there's not that many body parts.
I'm telling you,
that are upper body.
It's not the wrist.
It's not the wrist.
No.
Okay. So it's the elbow or the shoulder or the chest, something's, or the oblique, something like that.
Something's bothering
where
him.
Where does upper, and, is waist is upper than lower? That's where it starts? The waist?
Yes.
Okay.
It starts
so right oblique.
This region here. Yeah.
So take 2 days off. Take the weekend off.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance now that he may take the weekend off.
I think he's taking the weekend off. It just, if you're going to let something heal up here and give it a little time, yeah, it doesn't make sense for it to be like a few days. Give him a week. And
there's no number right now that you need to feel pressure to hit. That's the message.
No, I think it
that's
helps.
The message that I'm, that's the number one thing that made me say what I just said, is that we need to be abundantly clear that you're not coming back.
How do we make this about the team and not your numbers?
To feel like you need to produce for us a goal a game.
What do you think about the Atlantic Division going into this year? We were like, you were giving it the whole AL East thing and all, you know, all the best teams are in the division.
Maybe they all suck.
They're second in the division at 7-5 with a 571 winning percentage.
Maybe they all suck.
Maybe.
That's a nice development. Yeah, happy to be wrong about that. It's been an incredible division for a long time. It's the Metro and the Central that are looking to be the beasts of the league.
Tampa 7-6, Detroit 6-5, and then everyone else below 500. Bruins are 6-7.
9-3-1 doesn't impress you out of Florida?
Oh, it impresses me.
It does impress me, yes, but they're plus 7 goal differential. They've won 5 straight games, so I shouldn't start hedging on this. But, like, I don't look at that team. So last year, Kip, we looked at them and said, good team, complete, built for the playoff style team. But I don't think anyone thought, we didn't think they were, I don't know, 10 miles ahead of everyone. Yeah. They were just the best of the group. I think they're a little worse than they were last year, like a little bit worse, which is still good. Very good.
But they lost like
Brandon Montour and OEL were, significant pieces.
Yes.
You know, they look at some of the players in their team and then, you know, okay, Semeskovich and, you know, AJ Greer. I actually like AJ Greer. I think they're fine. Kulikov, Mikola, or their middle pair. Like, they're not, they're a good team. I'm not trying to take away from them, but I just don't think they're like, holy smokes, Florida.
So,
but,
oh, go ahead.
They are, in my estimation, the team to beat.
I would agree. I did some looking at like strength of schedule, and they've had it pretty easy so far. They were, I'll check my two sites here. So far, they've had the third easiest schedule in the NHL, second easiest by the other website. So it's going to get harder for them, and I think they've had a pretty fortunate draw so far. Coming up for Florida is Winnipeg, Carolina, Rangers, Minnesota. Like, they got some tough games coming up. So,
and here's what I'll say about the teams they have this weekend. You should probably, with what you have in your lineup without Austin Matthews, have a pretty good chance to get a couple results against the Red Wings and the Habs, who have both looked like two of the, you know, least threatening teams in the league.
Leafs just never beat, they feel like they play well against Canadians.
Yeah, no, it's always a game. Yeah. It's always a game, and, you know, I think they're better against them on home ice than they are on the road. They always play some wild games. I think Habs-Leafs is just, it's a little bit of a different thing, like a lot of rivalry games are, but the Red Wings have been, like, I mean, their shot attempts, wherever we were talking with Dan Murphy yesterday, they're not very good. Mm-hmm. So you should be able to handle this weekend and get them ready for the Sens and the Caps next week. That would be my estimation.
I think that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay, where do you want to go? You want to go to the depth up front behind?
Yeah, I think that's who we're going to see more of. So there seem like relevant pieces of conversation.
Yeah. Yesterday we gave some love to David Kemp for his contributions to the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. Do you want to get Craig Berube's thoughts on David Kemp?
Yeah, let's
Well, I think the details of his game, being on the right side of things as a centerman, checking, those types of things, that's his game, right? Penalty killing out there in them situations. And I feel like he's in very good position now and using his stick well and did a great job killing lately. I mean, he's done a real good job of killing and face-offs, right? I mean, his face-off has been good.
I feel like Berube doesn't know what to make of David Kemp. Like, he
sat out a game, right?
He did.
The Columbus game where they lost 6-1.
Yeah.
Or 6-2.
And, like, Dubas brought him in here, and then he ended up being useful, and everyone was so surprised he was useful. We started talking about him like he was, you know, whatever.
I think he can...
Very high.
Use to his advantage guys not figuring out if he likes them or not.
Mm.
What do you, oh, you mean as a coach, you say, as yeah.
I think.
I like that, Kevin.
You know, whether or not it's McMahon or it's Kampf or it's Holmberg, like you are on a game-to-game, week-to-week basis on whether I like you or not. I yeah. can like you tonight, and I will say like nice things after the game about you, but I could not like you by the end of next game.
Yeah.
So you better be on your toes. You better be ready. You better be thinking I am one bad game away from being a healthy scratch.
But what I love about that,
because that's the way I played my whole career.
But that's great because it's, well, in this case, I think it's not personal. It's play well and we're good. Play poorly, we got issues. It's not like no matter what you do, I like you and you're going to get ice time. Yeah. Or no matter what you do, I don't. Every hockey player has had some coach who they felt like it doesn't matter what I do.
Because this guy do will your not job. Use me. There is a recurring theme going out. It's like musical chairs. Like you've got a
real
chair.
Real players have come out. Holmberg's out. Kampf is out. McMahon's out.
We've all had. We've got four or five guys that we could sit there and say, Berube doesn't like him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you said that Berube doesn't know what to make of David Kampf. Look at his ice times. And his ice times would agree.
Oh, really?
He played 16:23 last game. 12:05 the game before, 9:49, 12:43, 7:48, 13:14, 11:41.
That
like,
sounds like he does know what he thinks.
Well, no,
of
but
him.
Like,
not much.
I mean, but to go from 7:48 to 12:43 from in back-to-back yeah. games, it's
but
like
to then get to 16. Maybe yeah. he's warming up on it. Maybe he's seeing a little of the details stuff that
yeah.
kind of have had him earn a lot of ice time around here in the past.
Now, yeah. in the old days, in our Stanley Cup year, we had like rosters of 20-25. We had like back then we had yeah. probably $4 or $5 million in the press box. Mm-hmm. You know, every
which
game.
In today's dollars is $13 trillion.
Can't do that anymore. Like by next week, they're gonna have to make a decision here. They're gonna have to move some money out. Or
I hear Kampf's name comes up. That's the most mental suggestion I've ever heard. Like you need David Kampf. Kampf, you don't have anyone else. You got no centers.
People really don't like David Kampf, and I've never like you know the 2.4. It was probably
yeah. I wish it was 1.4.
It was sure. probably $1 million too much, but and they really tie that to him and they hate on him. And I've just never been there with him.
No,
like I accept what he is.
He's long. He's got
and
a great stick.
It's the loose
things they don't have.
Every band, like I say, every team needs butchers. He needs every yeah. band needs a tuba player. Like you can't all be top six. You need a guy that's like, hey, my job is to chop away here.
Yeah.
To play defense. You
One
need
time,
that.
When I got hired with the Marlies, Lou was giving his orchestra speech to the team and how everyone, you know, you can't have a bunch of, everyone can't play the flute. You need some tuba players. Huh. And I was trying to record it on my phone.
He caught you?
I wanted, someone else was like, just looked at me. I was like, don't. Don't do it. I just wanted to have, it's famous. The Lou speech is famous.
Yes, the orchestra.
And it's like taking a picture of the roof of the Sistine Chapel or whatever, which I also did. But I just wanted to have it.
With the no photos allowed sign?
Yeah.
Well, it's always like, it blows my mind when people are trying to, I don't know if you've ever been to the Louvre in Paris, but everyone's crowding around the Mona Lisa.
It's which like, is like
the
go thin, online.
It's like this big, and then you turn around, and there's literally like, a wall-sized, unbelievable. I'm like, that one seems way better. Like, it's way better.
Yeah, but so that's it. It's like, it's such a famous thing to say because it's true. You do need people who do something different for you. David Kampf does something.
And he is a natural centerman.
True center who wins a ton of draws.
Wins draws.
Yeah.
And that's the tough part. That so helps. There might have been a reason why you needed to go spend almost $2.5 million on him.
And I thought last night, the last game, they reunited Marner and Kampf on the penalty kill, which has been a good pair for them on the penalty kill.
Because
it's been Matthews and Marner, and they played a lot in the penalty kill, which, you know, I had mixed feelings about. But
it's just so nice because they're on the same line, right?
Yeah, but
so you don't shuffle your bench.
It's easier for the bench, no question, but I think Kampf and Marner is a good pair on the penalty kill, and they look good in the game against Boston.
Yeah.
So
okay, with no potential Austin Matthews this weekend, that means Berube will lean on Max Domi. Let's get his thoughts on what he's seen out of Max so far.
He attacked in the inside more, and not only on the power play, but some five-on-five situations where, and he used his shot. He shot more. He needs to keep building off that and, you know, not always being on the outside and looking to make plays. And he's a great playmaker. We all know that. But getting on the inside, shoot pucks more, hounding, And then, you know, obviously when he's defensively, he's been on the right side of things, which is good. You know, as an F3 or playing down low in our zone, he's doing a good job there.
How long are you okay with Max Domi, his own, his offensive contributions being just assists? Like, if he finishes with 0 and 35 this year or 0 and 40 assists, like, are you okay with that?
Well, I mean, if he's playing well, checking well, and there's enough goals coming from other contributions, it's not pretty for him. I get it.
He ripped a couple off the iron recently. Like, he's and getting
that,
close.
That toe drag high blocker attempt where he missed by a millimeter would have been one of the nicer goals I've seen a Leaf score in a while. Beautiful
really
toe drag.
Slick,
yeah. It's almost as if he was the first person to say, and I know that they don't play together, but like there just seems to be a maybe I've got a green light to shoot the puck more now that Austin's gone. Like we need more. We need shots. Yeah. We need to shoot the puck more. And
you look at the Oilers without Connor, Draisaitl all of a sudden is like, "Welp, I need to turn into Brett Hall." You know, that's like.
Also, having the big mean coach tell you every single day to shoot the damn puck more probably is going to affect your ability.
I like that he's in his ear saying, "Get to those areas,
shoot the puck, shoot the puck."
Well, you're selfish if you don't.
Yes,
we grow up with a mentality that you don't want to be selfish,
unselfish, and virtuous.
And it's like, no, you pass up a shooting opportunity. That's a selfish move because
the team needs
the
goals.
What we need.
Yeah, we need pucks in the net. And if you're looking for the pretty place, you can get the back pats. That becomes selfish at some point. All right, so the coach, you know, we're going to go around the fringes of the team a little bit still because that's what's going to be elevated in the absence of Matthews. Let's talk about Patches and the physicality because we've lauded him with praise recently.
Yeah.
His coach noticed too. Let's talk a clip five here.
Yeah, very. I think it rubs off on the whole team, and you know, it's an important part of our game is being physical. And you know, he's doing a great job of it.
There you go.
And let's go to Patch Reddy himself.
Yeah, this is a good clip
off the back of that.
Maybe when I'm playing, you know, against some top six guys, they don't expect guys in the top six to be that physical. It's something that I've not to sound cocky, been good at, but you know, it's hard to do. It's like really hard to play like that and then play offensive and make plays. So I'm really trying to find a balance. Not to say that I want to be less physical, but I got to find ways to extend plays because of it. And that's just, you know, at my age, I talked a lot about, I don't want to say changing my role, but changing kind of my style of play, especially defending with this team. And I think that's really beneficial for the team. But I think that there's more offensively that I can help while doing that.
He's a good talker, man.
Yes, but you know what I heard?
I want to score the puck.
I don't want to do this.
I want to score the damn hockey puck.
I'll do it if I got it.
Yeah.
I want to separate, you know, he's talking about separating people from the puck so you can extend the possession so you can shoot in the net.
How many minutes did he play the other night? Like, there's a guy that's probably used to playing anywhere between 17 and 20 minutes in the height of his career, right? So, would he attempt one big hit, you know, in the height of his career? Would he have tried to hit one or two guys like that or just...
Ice time's been pretty consistent with just around 15. Just around 15. He was 14-15, 14-10, 15-11, 14-22, 15 minutes. Yeah. Like, it's always...
Sustainability to me is, like, what I'm going to look at. Like, how long can he keep hitting, like, a Mack truck?
Yeah. It's keeping him in the lineup. It's what separates him from Robertson. If neither of you are scoring, this guy keeps smashing people.
I know the game's changed over the years, but human behavior hasn't all the time. No. And I will say this, that if I played against him and I saw him taking these healthy runs, including the one that he hit the kid.
Jared McCann?
No,
Peak.
Oh, Peak?
Peak.
Yeah.
Right? Knocked him out of the game. And I don't know, he's week to week now. The kid's out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if I came up against Pacioretty, the first thing I want to do is knock his block off.
Yeah.
Right? Well, because it's like, at some point, someone's going to some of the guys are going to start challenging him.
So
you get that reputation.
I think this is a really important detail that kind of goes undersold with physical play. For years, the Leafs have been chasing the Bruins around trying to prove that they're tough or as tough or whatever, always on the wrong side of this stuff. So Pacioretty hits Peak, And all of a sudden, Boston's like, oh, you know, we got to get him back. And they chase him around. Zadorov takes a dumb penalty chasing him around.
Cross-checks him twice.
Yep. Leafs go in the power play. Yeah. Morgan Riley shoots it in the net. Yeah. 1-0 Leafs peaks out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, like you start being on that side of those equations.
There will be more. I don't know how many more, because a lot of it's been curtailed, but there'll be another Zadorov that says, I can't let this guy keep running around and hitting me. And I don't know what the domino effect will that be on Ryan Reeves or anyone else in between there.
You know what's hard?
But when you hit like that and you hurt guys, it gets noticed not only about the team that you're about to play against Detroit. You don't think Detroit's already talked about Pacioretty, keep your head up. The guy could hurt you, or, you know, and it's like, well, let's get him first.
He's not sneaking up on people as much.
There's a chain reaction here that still exists.
So do you have to get used to the other team telling you, I'm going to come get you? Because when you throw hits a lot, like, you're now in that uncomfortable position where the other team is saying, you're hunted. And I think you see it from Florida and Boston with great success. It probably takes some acclimation, getting used to playing well while you're feeling like the game is coming for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know where that comfort zone's going to be. Is it like, bring it on, right?
Yeah, like that takes a special player to be like, oh, yeah.
I'll dig it. I'll dig down deeper, and if push comes to shove and I get challenged, what am I going to do? Do I fight a guy? Do I not fight a guy? Do I say, hey, listen, my game's really about, like, big hits and then trying to score a goal. And it's not.
And everyone going, no, it's not
this stuff. You know, I don't want to fight.
Colby Armstrong, who was on the panel last night, he was talking about how he was running around hitting guys, and Jamal Mayers was like, you're going to run around like that, you're going to have to fight me. And Colby was like, no, I'm not. You got to catch me, you know, like, you know, skating around. You know, it's tough to be the guy who hits
Pacioretty has snuck up on people with this play, right? We didn't really expect it. I'm sure the opponents didn't really expect it, but it's like we're barely in the second week of November. Like, if he keeps this up by January, February, like it's a different mentality. Like you said, if people start challenging you in different ways, how do you react?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it gives you a whole new appreciation for like the Tkachuk brothers and Tom Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
but Tom Wilson, like, he's so big. He's like,
yeah. Like, and like, I guess Marchand and where literally the second you step on the ice, you were the most hated guy from the other team. They're running at you and you're still scoring 100 points. You're fighting, you're hitting.
There's a normal.
That's what you make, $8 million.
It's a normal feel for those Tkachuk brothers.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I'm going to get you. And they're looking and go,
everyone is.
Get in line.
They're all trying to get me. You're no different.
Yeah. Take a number.
You're not special.
Yeah, I'll get to you.
You have the deli number pulled.
Right?
Ah, shit, I'm not up for a week. No, that's my language.
Number 72 to kill Matthew Tkachuk. Your order's ready.
So did you play like that in junior? Like, was there a point where you started to do that?
Listen, I 1 year I think I scored 40 goals. I had 112 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
So I had a few fights. I kind of liked it a little bit because I don't know who I knocked out. Wayne Pressly came after me one night in Kitchener when I was like barely 17, and I knocked him out. And I'm like, oh, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I want to try that again. And then there was a buildup towards it a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's always a little bit of a part of me that didn't mind it. So when I had to like really step on the gas pedal to do it, I was okay.
And were there times where you start jawing at someone and you can tell that they're scared or they don't want it, and it's like emboldening?
Yes. Yeah, and it's like, I got you.
Very few times I felt on the other side of that. You. And you're like, oh, this guy does not want to do
And then
this.
There's times where I bluffed and I'm like, I get my bluff called and then I'm like at the bottom of a pile.
That happens too.
You're better off at the bottom of a pile
than not doing it. Yeah.
Because once you get called out on a bluff,
like Marchand,
bunting, buddy.
Then you're toast. Then it's like,
you're not,
and it's not just the opponents looking at you going, bluffer, phony, fraud.
Now, those are the biggest insults of your era.
It's some of your teammates.
My dad and his friends calling someone a phony, or that's fraud. Like the all a fraud. That's like the ultimate. Like that guy, he doesn't actually want.
Right up there with like soft and those are just like those are demoralizing.
Soft is the worst thing you get called as a hockey player. Like, oh, you're just soft.
Soft.
There's not one thing I think that's worse to hear than that.
Soft as baby doo-doo.
Healthy. Yep. Anyways.
All right. Good on Pacioretty. Hey, listen, keep it going, Max. Keep it going.
I had a riveting version of true or false that I thought we might have to use there. So maybe we'll get into it a little bit after the break. We have Josh Cloak as well. But I had a few good true or false questions that I cooked up. But like, maybe we won't have to get time to get to them.
All right.
But anyways.
All right.
We'll talk to him after the break.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. As our leader, Sam McKee, just mentioned, Joshua Cloak, Leaf writer for The Athletic, will join us after we hear these words.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Joshua Cloak. Just a quick note, because we're going to talk about this much more in depth in our national hour, but a bit of a historic hockey story out there. The NCAA has lifted their eligibility ban to allow CHL players to compete at U.S. colleges. That is a very big story, JB.
I mean, it changes the landscape of junior hockey, of college hockey, of how people develop and get to the NHL. I took great pains. I played one game for the Kelowna Rockets, and it was a great soul-searching. They had a promise to rip up the roster so I could stay college eligible. It was a big deal. It's like, shouldn't have been. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Just trying to develop.
Wow. So they ripped up the roster, eh?
So they told me they would do. You know, I don't think anyone ever pursued it.
So because of this story, we got Jeremy Roenick coming up at the top of the hour, so you don't want to miss that. And maybe we'll ask him a little bit about that, because as an American coming in, and whether or not the college route back then compared to the CHL and the opportunities that were around his time, and how he sees what a day like today does for U.S. hockey players moving forward here. We'll welcome in Jason Bukala in studio. Right, Sammy?
You got it, bud.
Okay, great. In the meantime, let's talk to Joshua Cloak, Leaf writer for The Athletic, as the Leafs gear up towards a Hall of Fame weekend, starting Friday night against Detroit, and then the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday. Joshua, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Not bad at all. Staring into the sun, heading west on a 401, so I guess I am doing pretty terribly. I defaulted to nice there. It's awful, but happy to talk to you guys as always.
Well, we appreciate it. So earlier in the show, we were discussing Leafs with no Austin Matthews. So,
yeah,
you know, where is the perception outside of this studio here amongst many that cover the Leafs day to day with you in terms of the concern or what the effects mean around the hockey club with no Matthews potentially this weekend?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he plays this weekend. And I think that's based a little bit on, like, it's going to sound harsh, but, like, does he have to, right? Ultimately, and we've said this before, like, you need Austin Matthews at his best for that late season run in the playoffs, right? You want to avoid whatever happened last season when you lose your two best players in the playoffs. And one of those was a freak thing. But, like, Austin Matthews doesn't need to score 60-plus goals for this team to get in the playoffs, right? He needs to be at his absolute best in April. So I don't think there's any need to rush him back. I don't think there's any desire to rush him back. I don't think it's like the kind of thing that you just need 48 hours off from. I suspect we'll probably see him back at some point next week. I suspect. And it's just such a huge opportunity for other guys. You guys were talking about Max Domi to really prove what they're worth. And also, like, maybe it's enough for Brad Treliving to go, you know what? The center depth, this isn't just a thing that people on the outside are talking about. We really need to address this. And, like, maybe it forces an early season move. Like, when you guys watch them, when you watch Max Domi, top-line center, do you not think, boy, we really could use that third-line center that we needed in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm.
So as the guys come back from LTIR, you know, they're looking to get Connor Dewar back and probably Hawk and Paw. What are your thoughts on how that's going to affect their roster?
Oh, it was such a good idea in theory, right, when you bring all these guys into training camp. And I might be in the minority on this, but, like, you bring in all these guys into training camp to create a sense of competition, to push guys. We saw Max Pacioretty early in the season. When he comes out of the lineup, he comes back in, plays really well. We saw Nick Robertson feel like he was fighting for his life for the preseason. He plays really well. But now you've kind of backed yourself into a corner, you're probably going to need to throw some players who have been solid contributors. You're going to need to throw them on waivers. Like, I don't know if Connor Timmins gets claimed, but he's played some of his best, most efficient hockey as a Maple Leaf. And, like, you might have to waive him and you might lose him. And is it worth doing all that just to kind of jam all these guys in here? We don't know what Hawk and Pod's going to be like. He hasn't played in a very long time. Hasn't played an NHL game in a very long time. I think you have guys like, and Borny, I know you're a fan, but, like, I think you have guys like Connor Dewar in the lineup already. So I don't know if you feel like we're really missing someone like him. I think it's a bit complicated, and I think it's unnecessarily complicated to have all these guys and to try and jam them back in. I don't know where you guys stand, but I didn't like it from the start because you feel like you might now have to lose someone who's been pretty reliable for you.
Yeah, I'm not losing Timmins to take a chance on Hawk and Paw. That's right? For me, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. And yes, he will get snapped up. Right-handed D, that big, that has shown an ability so far to play 16, 17 minutes and limit his mistakes now,
will and you know be snapped great? Up. Like, I didn't think Connor Dewar, I didn't have Connor Dewar high on my list of guys that would thrive under Craig Berube. And I talked to him about it. I'm like, you know, like, let's be honest, no one really pegged you as a guy that was going to come flying out of the gates and play really well. And he kind of laid it out for me. He's like, do you know how simple it is to play, like, hockey, like, for Craig Berube? Like, get north, move quick, move the puck quick, don't overcomplicate things. He's like, perhaps I was doing a lot of that in the past. But if you play simple, like, you know, essentially your coach is going to like it. And I just find that fascinating for a guy like him that was kind of in and out under Sheldon Keefe. And he's like, yeah, I just play things really, really simple. And lo and behold, I've become really important to this team.
Yeah, Connor Dewar is going to be interesting when he comes back. He's only 25 years old, but you talk about guys that Berube might like. Everything he does is stuff Berube might like, but will he like someone who's 5'10" centerman in your bottom six? Like, I am curious to see how that works because it's all the attributes the coach likes without the physical attributes.
I mean, what was it when he gets asked about Nick Robertson? What's the first thing he says?
Just right? Not big.
He's always just not big. What you love about covering Craig Berube is, like, he's never going to beat around the bush. Right. You know, when Timothy Liljegren gets traded and he's asked, why didn't he go right or why he didn't play very well. Right. Like, it's just there's never a question about how Craig Berube is really feeling. So I don't know. I think you have guys like him, like Connor Dewar. And that's not to pick on the guy. It's just like you know, you were talking about the orchestra before. Like, it feels like they have three or four drummers right now. And I just don't, I feel like he's a drummer and I don't know. I feel like they should be adding some of those flute players that you guys were talking about.
We're talking to Josh Cloak, Leaf writer for The Athletic. So do three power play goals the other night solve all their problems?
I mean, they definitely allow Mark Savard to probably sleep more than 3 hours at night, right? Like, that's probably all it does is it just makes everyone relax and remind everyone, you know, Savard and the personnel, like, we can do this. Again, just by keeping things really, really simple. Like, you watch those goals, that some of them are really ugly. Like, Willie's was ugly, but what's he doing? He's just throwing it at the net, right? And this isn't make it the, you know, you don't want the whole thing to sound so simple, but under Craig Berube, it kind of is. And that's what, like, it's fascinating. You guys are talking about, like, Max Pacioretty before and just what a great story he is. Like, Max Pacioretty, I think, is thriving because he's played, you know, in the league such a long time. Ekman Larson as well, we can lump him in there. They've played for so many coaches. They've gotten adaptable, and they understand how you have to be flexible and change your game and do what a coach requires of you. There's guys on this team that played for Sheldon Keefe for so long and were just programmed to think the way that Keefe, you know, wants the game to be played. I think it's taken some guys time to deprogram. But the Ekman Larsons, the, you know, Pacioretty, once you've played for whatever, 8, 10 coaches, you grow an ability to shift. And like Kipper, you know this, like you just ultimately realize, if I just do what the coach wants, it's going to be simpler for me. And the power play was evidence of that, I think. Just, you know, put it at the net.
We'll see where the consistency goes with that, Josh. Hey, really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
Thanks so much, man.
Josh Kloke.
I figured we have a few minutes. Sammy's got a couple of questions. We would reserve a few minutes at the end here.
My true or false?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thought we might as well get to those. Well,
really nice.
Again, anything you want to talk about off the back of that, or we're all good?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Okay.
Except for this show's newfound love of Connor Timmins, which is shocking.
Yeah. He mentioned it there. There's just no way that you'd ever consider that. Like, I'm not saying about Josh saying anything. He just mentioned it as a part. You're just not. Hawk and Paw is an interesting fit with Connor Timmins playing as well as he has.
Connor Timmins turned 26 a couple minutes ago.
Nobody. Yeah.
What are you going to do? Like, is it Benoit that comes out? Two right-handed shots? Oilers were doing that last night.
Don't try to beat the Oilers, D.
I know. It was Stetcher and Emberson were playing together. No, maybe not. Anyways.
Just get through the weekend, boys. And we'll go from there.
One foot in front of the other.
True or false? Matthew Nyes has the potential to represent USA at the Four Nations Faceoff.
You're lucky to know Kip and I have thought about this and discussed it.
Yeah.
I think it was a no.
Not yet. Not yet.
I'm more into it. I think it really depends on how much of a believer Bill Guerin, how familiar Bill Guerin is with him, mm-hmm. and what he believes he can be. Because his stats this year will be pretty undeniable in a month. Let's say he's got 15 goals by December 2nd when they make the team, and he's 6'3" and 220.
Yeah.
Kills penalties.
Like, I just think if...
Can I ask
if,
you...
If Billy Guerin's got a guy like that, Matt Boldy, in the lineup right now, that... he'll probably lean towards him over Matthew Nyes, and they might. Nyes is heavier than him, right? But Boldy plays a very, very strong game, in that similar type of role.
They're just so good up front.
I was just saying, I'm just looking at the USA projected thing. He's not going to be there over Caulfield, is he, Connor?
Yeah, well, hold on, stop right there.
Yeah,
yeah, very possibly. Okay. The Caulfield thing for me is just, if you're going to have the elite guys that they have up front and Tkachuks and Miller and Austin Matthews and whatever, if Caulfield's not on power play one or power play two...
Doesn't make any sense.
No, Nyes makes way more sense.
Okay. It's obviously not Connor, Eichel, Gensel, Hughes, Jack Hughes, Keller, Kreider, Dylan Larkin, Matthews, JT Miller, Jason Robertson, Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk.
Dylan Larkin's in for sure.
For sure.
Sarah Darren, okay.
Good team. There, that's
really tough choices.
That is the favorite.
Favorite?
Canada. Oh, the Americans are the favorite for sure.
I'll check Bet365 for that in the next hour.
Should they back me up on that?
You think so?
They got goaltending.
Okay. Yeah. Next question for you. True or false? Anthony Stolarz plays over 40 games this year.
If he doesn't, Leafs are screwed. What's he at right now? Eight? Nine?
Nine, yeah.
Eight?
Yeah. If he doesn't, major disappointment at this point.
Right. Because he's already played so many.
Well, yeah, and it's
72 games left, and he needs 32 to get there.
It's not like he's had a great week. He's had a very, very good
2 months
training camp on. Mm-hmm. So
he's played 9 games.
You just hope that he can stay healthy. And even if it pulls back a little bit, I think he's shown enough that he can be a very, very good goalie. Like he's, I can't recall watching him yet where I can go, he really lost his net there.
No.
Like I'm watching Stuart Skinner last night, and I'm like, game-winning goal with Noah Hanifin.
You didn't like the game winner. No. I didn't like the game tie goal.
I just think he needs to be out. Bigger and out, and I need Hanifin's shot to go post in. I don't need it 4 inches off the post inside.
I worked with Gazdik last night, and he was teammates with Stolarz, I don't know, some years ago, and he said that it takes a while for a big guy to control the body. Like, he used to be a lot busier and out of the net, and this year it's all tighter, and he stops at the end of his movements. And
yeah, he's a big goalie, and honestly, like there's some themes going around with the big goalies and wear and tear, and I get the back-to-backs with the big goalies more than ever.
Yeah.
But you just hope that he can stay healthy.
This was a part of my original true or false, but true or false, Auston Matthews still gets to 50 goals this year.
Yeah, it's silly to bet.
Why would you bet against it after what he's been able to do and where he's been historically for 8 years, right?
Last year, I don't remember how many hat-tricks he had last year. How many hat-tricks do you have last year? Six? He had six hat-tricks last year.
He's got five right now. Five goals, right?
Yeah. You know, like
he's about to miss three
games. He's going to have a few hat-tricks.
Imagine being so sick. Like, he'll have a few hat-tricks.
There's going to be a heater for him for 2 weeks where it's like goal a game.
Right.
And that gets him back on pace for 50?
Well.
It's going to be hard for him to get to 50. He's got to get
40 to 50.
Mega hot to get to 50. And I don't care. I'm just wondering.
What did I tell you guys? Well,
I know you don't care.
Like, be a 40-goal scorer. I'd like to see his assists up. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Max Domi having no goals this year. Like, I don't want my number one centerman to end up with another 33 assists. Get those suckers up.
Yeah.
I'm watching Ovechkin last night. Did you see the setup goal? He's in the slot. They're panicking. Two guys go to him, and he just slides it right down to...
How is this happening? That Ovechkin is just like...
Pontus on a nice wraparound.
The elite special athletes can just maintain that. Like, Crosby is point per game again.
16 points in 12 games for Ovi, 8-8. It's crazy.
And Sid's, 18 straight years at a point per game or something?
And my last true or false, this is Nick Kyprios at the Bruce Springsteen concert last night.
Hey!
with the poppy on.
Does you more, or the video, top left.
Top left with the poppy.
I'm the only one wearing a poppy.
Look at you there.
Bunch of bad Canadians. In fairness, in the video, you look much more put together than that screenshot. They really took you to a different moment there.
You go.
Sammy, that's quite the effort to get that up. I got to be honest with you.
Look at the boss, though, eh?
The boss is still bringing it.
He's rocking the Santa bucket early.
He's got the biggest, Santa Claus is coming.
As soon as that hat goes on, that's it, buddy. That's money.
Singing it in November, when are you singing Santa Claus is coming to town?
It is the greatest Christmas song of all time, I think. But anyways, just want to make sure that is you. True.
True.
There you go.
True.
There you go.
True or false? You paid for your tickets.
No, I was invited.
You've never paid for a damn thing.
Sammy's going to the game tomorrow.
We have that in common.
I'm the Sammy of a Bruce Springsteen concert, like Sammy's to a Leaf game tomorrow night.
Listen, and
are you in the lower bowl tomorrow night?
I am lower bowl. I'm in the lower bowl. I get the Leafs shooting on the net twice too. Like, I'm in the sweet spot.
Neither of you are in Colby's hotel room, though.
Oh, my God.
What did he do? He just tweeted his hotel room?
Yeah, like he...
That hotel room cost...
And they only had this room available or whatever, and they bumped him up. And
that hotel room cost more than I made my first 3 years here at Rogers.
I'm telling you, if I get that hotel room, nobody knows about it. I'm not broadcasting that, Colby.
Right.
Right?
No, I'm not coming out either. I'm living in there. Squatter's rights, baby.
All right, our thanks to Joshua Cloak from the Leaf... Leaf writer with The Athletic. When we return, Jeremy Roenick. going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's going to join us before he makes his way over here. Plenty more still to come on Real Kipper and Bourne.